Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, July 13th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with David Jewart about his family's early summer Walt Disney World vacation, full of firsts and bouncing from resort to resort. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me back, man.
All right. So this was your traditional summer trip, although this was a couple months earlier than your usual summer trip, right?
Yeah, we did June last year. We kind of pushed it back a week, but we're normally late July, early August folk the previous trips, but last 2 years it's been early, so kind of liking it. You don't wish summer away.
That's true.
Honestly, that's the reason we switched it. No other reason than that, but the fact that we were like, oh yeah, we come back from Disney and my wife has to go back to school now.
All right. Well, hey, that makes a certain amount of sense. I mean, you were looking forward to the end of the school year anyway, and now you kind of have something to celebrate that with.
Exactly.
So. All right. So this year's trip, you started out with a plan for two resorts. And, you know, we've talked about this before. You're a big time advance planner. You jump on this early and you're all ready to go. You had two resorts planned. Somehow a third worked its way in. Explain that to me.
Yeah. So I am a rather large hockey fan. Penguins fan. I think I've mentioned that several times randomly in the podcast.
Of course. But
they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and game seven was going to be on the Wednesday night that we would be driving down. And that threw a very large wrench into this because it would not be safe for myself, my family, or anyone else on the road for me to be listening to a game seven in the Stanley Cup final while driving at 75 miles an hour.
Right.
So, my wife got her wish. She had been pushing for us to extend the trip anyways. And you know, there were some decent rates out. So I ended up adding a night at Wilderness Lodge before our one night that is normally our arrival night at Animal Kingdom Lodge before we headed over to the Polynesian for eight nights. So it worked out pretty well, actually. So we were supposed to leave on Wednesday after work. We ended up leaving on Tuesday after work because my wife picked me up and said, "So are we leaving?" I think she was joking. I'm not quite sure. I said yes, and we got home and packed the car and left at 7:30.
One of those where everybody was waiting for everybody else to say, "Just kidding, really."
Yeah, exactly. We're just kind of like pushing, like, "All right, well, whatever." And I was like, "Okay, it's no big deal. We were gonna wake up early anyway, so we had some time at Wilderness Lodge when we got there instead of rolling in at like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. If we'd have left at, you know, 7 or 8 in the morning, that's when we would have gotten there. We were gonna leave at 3, so I was like, well, why try to sleep for 3 hours and then get up and go?" And
right, sure.
I had all these thoughts of, well, if we just make it, you know, 3/4 of the way, we'll be good, or halfway or whatever. And by the time we got to a point where it was like, yeah, we should stop, it was 4 in the morning and I wasn't going to pay for a hotel. So we rotated driving relatively, you know, often and hit a couple rest stops for extended breaks. And once the sun came up, it was good. So
all right.
Woke up for work Tuesday morning and didn't go to sleep until Wednesday night at Wilderness Lodge.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right. So you getting in on Wednesday, and you said it was 4 o'clock. You decided to push on through. So what time did you actually arrive at Walt Disney World? And did you go straight to Wilderness Lodge? Is that what you did? Or
yeah, we got in to town. We had some traffic in Orlando because that's just what happens. and I think we went in around noon, right? Lunchish. So we ended up getting in. Our room was ready.
Oh, nice.
So we got in, got checked in, got to the room, had a little lunch, and then hit the pool. Just kind of chilled out.
Yeah, you got there early. You checked in. Your room was ready. Did you give yourself any real recovery time, or were you, we're here, let's hit things running?
We didn't do anything for 2 days, and I've never done that before at a Disney park.
Uh-huh.
Or Disney, Walt Disney World, at all.
Okay, so you told me coming in that this was going to be a trip full of firsts. I didn't realize that one of the first firsts of this trip was to, relax.
Yeah, I mean, we got in, we had just a couple nice meals at Roaring Fork, hit the pool, hung out. We ended up, we had a standard view room. And because of the construction, we got put on the sixth floor and we're facing the Magic Kingdom and there's no trees there anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had Magic Kingdom view from the Wilderness Lodge. So we ended up, we watched Wishes from our balcony. The kids passed out. They were done. But Brandy and I sat there. Yeah. Brandy and I sat there and had a drink and watched Wishes. It was fantastic.
That's so cool. And that's a nice perspective that it's a good view of the fireworks, but you never actually get it, right? Because of the way the trees were until this construction. So I was about to ask you, if there were any problems because of construction. It sounds like you got a bonus theme park view.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was fantastic. And so the next morning when I checked out, I asked and I said, so that was always standard view or, was it, cause I know at the Poly, they changed a lot of the room types because of construction. I thought they might've done the same thing with Wilderness Lodge. She's like, no, that's always standard view. Whenever they went to put the bungalows in, they had to take the trees out. Don't worry. We're putting them back. And I'm like, ugh.
Can we do that the other way?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I was hoping that this was like one of those little gems that you can share with people. Like, ask for the sixth floor on, from these rooms and you may end up with a really spectacular view, especially if you're staying there for 3 or 4 nights. I mean, heck, that's fantastic. So, so Wilderness Lodge was great. Did that, was just kind of chill.
We get away from that too much though, we should tell people, that construction is going to take a while. And my guess is that they're going to get most of the way done with the construction before they put those trees back in because they want them out of the way so they can move cranes and things around. So, there's probably another good, I would say, 4 months at least, maybe 6 months before done with heavy construction.
If you're planning on staying at Wilderness Lodge, I'm guessing through mid, I don't know. There was absolutely nothing done. I mean, it was just cleared. It's not like I was looking
site
at
prep,
half built bungalows. It was just all site prep. So, through fall, maybe?
Yeah, at least. And I got to figure that, like I said, it's going to be a good way through construction before they put those trees back up, because the reason they take them down is because they've got to get cranes in there. And, they're going to need cranes to do things like raise roofs.
Yeah.
So it'll be a while.
Yeah, so it's definitely something to keep in mind, folks, if you're staying at
theme park view rooms at Wilderness Lodge.
Yeah,
we just blew the secret, but
yeah, but still, but yeah, so that was a very nice way to start off the trip. So we did that. Next morning, got our ketchup fix at Whispering Canyon for breakfast, and checked out. We're sitting at breakfast at 10:30, and my phone vibrates. We haven't even checked out yet, and we already have a room at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That was efficient of them.
Exactly. So we got all of our stuff, and I did it. I talked my wife into going back to Downtown Disney, a.k.a. Disney Springs.
because you really hadn't been back there since the construction changes.
Oh, I haven't. I haven't been there in probably since 2007.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was always just Downtown Disney's Downtown Disney. No, not 7. 2010. 2010. Whatever. It's been a long time. So, yeah, changes, fantastic. I'm kind of glad I waited, to be honest. I mean, it's still I mean, you can still tell there's construction going on and whatever, but now they have a lot of stuff open.
Yeah, I could have. You got there, and we talked about this before we started recording, and we'll get to more of it. But you really got there right as everything was opening. I mean, I think Marketplace, the whole big Marketplace area, opened like the weekend before you arrived.
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe a couple weeks, but still, it was right there. So it was cool. I am a huge proponent of the parking garages, right?
Oh yeah.
So they were cool. I also love the fact that they have, like, the sensors with the lights so you don't have to go up and down the rows. It's fantastic. I think it's great use of technology.
Right. So just so people understand, because we've seen references to it, but just so people understand what this means, what David's talking about is that, you know, usually when you pull into a parking garage, especially these days when, you know, it seems like two-thirds of the people are driving SUVs and, you know, huge minivans and pickup trucks, you don't have to, you know, drive down the road trying to find a space that's open and doing that thing where, you know, every Mini Cooper that's parked between SUVs, you know, leads to having to, you know, peek around and pull up and back and whatever. Because when you look up to the ceiling, there are little lights that, it's kind of like almost like the occupied light in the airport or in the airplane, right? When there's somebody in the bathroom and the light goes on, same kind of deal. There's somebody in the space, you know, there's a red light. And if there's nobody in the space, there's a light that shows you can use that spot.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I just thought it was great. I'm sorry I'm fascinated about parking, but I thought that was great. So that's neither here nor there, because we were there at like 11:30 maybe. And
okay. So right as it's opening.
Yeah, it was just, you know, we didn't have to worry about that too much. But coming out, it was cool to see. So we got there. Really, the only thing I wanted to do was hit Hangar Bar. I wanted to take some pictures and walk around and see everything. But being a big Indiana Jones fan, I just wanted to see what this whole joint was about. I know you guys have had many a story about the place. You guys enjoy it. So I wanted to get into it. So we did, and had a couple beverages and hung out, and obviously had just eaten our faces off at Whispering Canyon. So no food, but a couple drinks.
Well, you know, from what I can tell, it's probably just as well, because anything we would have talked about regarding food, it sounds like, would have been already outdated, because I think it was
apparently
just last week that they rolled out a new menu.
Yeah, it'd be a moot point.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, so good experience at Jock Lindsay. As a matter of fact, I noticed it sounded like even your wife was won over by the Jock Lindsay experience and was even having nice things to say about Disney Springs.
Yeah, they did a very good job at making it more traffic friendly, walking traffic friendly, that whole Pleasure Island area, because it was terrible whenever they took Pleasure Island out and you had to walk from the West Side to to the Marketplace, right?
Yeah. So no, it's just that little pedestrian bridge makes such a big difference.
It's crazy. And it feels like, you know, I got off the or came down the escalator and I'm like, I have no clue where I am right now. Like The walls are so high in that, what is that, town center area? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Is what they call it? Yeah. So they're so high that there's no frame of reference. You used to be able to look and say, okay, there's Planet Hollywood, there's House of Blues, there's like Rainforest Cafe. Okay, I can figure out where I'm at. But like you just go around a corner and you're at World of Disney. And they put in some other interesting – I don't know. It felt like there were other ways to go. And it's not just one big mass of humanity being herded one direction. There were options, I guess. So it's the way it felt to me. So we moseyed for a little bit, got some tea at the Joffrey's place, actually ended up running into Mike from the Be Our Guest podcast.
Okay.
He was down at the same time. That was random, but, did that and just kind of chilled. I got my hangar bar experience. We looked around, didn't really want to shop. Hit the Lego store real quick. My son immediately wanted to buy everything in there. World of Disney for a few minutes, didn't buy much, but, that was it. And then
now wait a second. We talked a lot about the wares. I want to talk a little bit more and focus a little more on the whats. And in terms of what things that really stood out, about the things you experienced. I mean, you spent some time at Hangar Bar, so food, not so much, but you did enjoy some of the drinks and some of the decor. What were the things about that experience that made it so positive?
Decor was fantastic. There are so many little Easter eggs in there. Just cool things to look at, right? It's a nice space. It's not too big. It's not too small. A lot of just cool things to look at. drink-wise, ended up having the Scottish Professor. Is that right?
Okay.
That's the Scotch Manhattan kind of. No, I don't know what it is. Honestly, I forget. It was good. That's all I know. But there's going to be a theme running through all of the beverages in this. I somehow jumped on this Kentucky Mule train.
Okay.
Have you gotten into the mule deal with the copper cups and then?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why I immediately giggled when you said that. I mean, you know me, bourbon is not my go-to.
Right.
But I was drinking Moscow Mules left and right and ginger cocktails in general at the Diz Dads Club convention back in January. So I'm definitely amused by you getting bit by that same bug.
Well, it was awesome. I got a buddy who lives here who just all he talks about is Moscow Mules. Like, he just loves them every time. Like, and he's been for years before this whole kick recently. I'm like, all right, well, I'll try one. So I was at Territory Lounge. I'd popped down. I had never been in, so I wanted to go take some pictures and ended up sitting down there and having one. You know, I had to, quote unquote, go get drinks for me and my wife. So that means me go have a drink and then get drinks for me and my wife. Right. Okay.
I'm not the only one that collects the toll.
Exactly. But that's, I had one there. I'm like, holy mackerel, this is good. So I didn't know this, and I know you're not a huge bourbon fan. I've gotten into bourbon over the last probably year and a half, pretty distinctly. But Disney has its own 120 proof Knob Creek that's selected specifically only for Disney resorts. So I had learned about that the night before, went to Hangar Bar, and was just talking to the bartender randomly. I said, what's your favorite drink to make? He's like, you have to have this. I said, okay. So it was a mule with – is it the – oh, what's the drink? It's the Pirates – what's the Pirates reference? The Air Pirates. It was basically a Kentucky mule with that bourbon, and it was stellar. It might have been the best one I had.
Wow.
So – drinks were good. Wife enjoyed the drinks. Kids had a good time in the atmosphere. They just kind of, you know, took it all in.
Okay, wait. I went ahead and found it. It's the Air Pirates Mule.
There we go. Air Pirates Mule.
And it's the combination there is the Knob Creek Disney Select Single Barrel Reserve Bourbon and then the Fever Tree Ginger Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that I think, is what's making the difference in these ginger-based drinks being so good, is that more and more places are using actual ginger beer instead of, you know, crappy ginger-flavored syrup.
Right. Exactly. I thought the cocktail menu there was really cool.
It's just a fun menu. I mean, it's interesting stuff, and they've got signature drinks that are different than what you find everywhere else. And in the age of so many bars going to the sort of consolidated standardized menu, it's nice to see some different things available.
Yeah, there were a lot of them. I mean, we there were probably six or seven that we didn't even touch. And there were some standards. There were some standards in there, but, you know, I could have made a day of it.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah. Easily. So Hangar Bar was awesome. Really enjoyed it. The whole field down there is pretty cool. By down there, I was going to say Downtown Disney and steered. So, Disney Springs, I really like the new vibe. It seems cleaner. Does that make sense?
I think it's just less cluttered. And so, yeah, it feels cleaner too.
Yeah, and I don't mean like they swept. I mean,
no, it's like just cleaner less lines physically cluttered because you've got lines of sight now. You don't have, like I said, it's amazing what just a simple walkway, what that impact can have on everything around it.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was cool to see the amphicars drive into the water. As soon as my son saw that, he wanted to do it, and I didn't want to pay $190,000 to do it, so that didn't happen.
Okay, wait. Quick tip, because I just saw this reference, so now I have to look it up while we're talking. They're doing this new deal. They call it Lunch and Launch.
Okay.
So if you go, and normally the ride in the amphicar is $125.
Right.
Which is pricey for about I think I've heard it's, about a 20-minute ride?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pricey. But if you go have lunch at the boathouse between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., they will give you $25 off of an amphicar tour booking. You just bring, the ship store, which is where you do the reservations for the amphicars, by 3 o'clock. And they'll give you the deal. So, $25 off of a $125 price is, about a 20% discount.
Yeah, it's not bad. It makes it a little more
It makes
possible.
It tempting, at least, instead of a no freaking way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they, Yeah, I've spent $100 at Disney on worse, so why not?
Well, there you go. This is what I'm saying. I've done the same thing. I'm like,
yep. Nice.
All right. So we found the discount deal. So good thing that you didn't know about that then, because then you might have given in.
Yes, exactly. I probably would have. Talked about the line site down there, all that. So we ended up. Bouncing not too long after that, probably an hour walking around, and then headed on over to our room at Animal Kingdom Lodge, which it got us there a little later than we wanted to be. We were hoping to spend a good portion of the day at Animal Kingdom, just kind of chilling in the pool, watching the animals, taking advantage of some of the stuff in the lobby, some of the cultural experiences that they have, which we got to do a little bit of that. By the time we got into our room, we had actually been upgraded, which Disney was trying to throw a little magic our way, and I completely thank them for it. But they upgraded us to a bunk bed Savannah room.
Oh, cool.
Which is great until you realize you have a 4-year-old that all he's going to want to do is climb up and down the ladder. And then you're counting falls.
Right. Well, the real challenge on your part was that, it's not like you had a week's vacation to spend in that room, right? You had the one night, or was it more than one?
Nope, just one night there.
All right. So you had the one night, and for us, right, the immediate battle, and I think Michaela and John are about the same age difference as your kids are.
Right, right.
The immediate battle is who gets the top bunk.
And that happened.
Usually the only way to manage it is, you'll take turns and mm-hmm. everybody will get a chance. But if you've only got one night, what are you going to do, wake them up at 4 a.m. to swap?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was... It was stated by mommy that, no, you're 4, you don't get to sleep in the top bunk. my wife wouldn't have slept if that happened. It just, it wouldn't have happened. She would have been worried the entire time that he was going to fall out. So right. It ended up okay. He ended up falling asleep on the bottom bunk anyways. So we're good there. Crisis averted for that. But it was pretty cool. Nice view of, one of the corners of the the savanna, a reasonable amount of animals were out, lots of giraffes and such. I have to say it is really cool sitting outside and having coffee and watching animals. Just throwing that out
there. Isn't it, though? It was one of my favorite things about that balcony.
Yeah. And it was really, really cool. Which, this was our second time staying there. The first time, we were up and out of there at, I want to say, 6 o'clock in the morning because we had to change resorts. We had to actually check in. This was years ago, but when you had to actually check in to get dining plan activated.
Oh, right. In order to be able to use your credits.
Right. So we had an 8 a.m. reservation at Crystal Palace. So we had to go from Animal Kingdom to Yacht Club to Magic Kingdom. So we didn't get to chill out in the morning. We didn't get to, you know, just enjoy our coffee on the balcony and just chill. So we did, but not really, because we wanted to leave real quick. But let's back up. We did actually we were really just going to kind of hit the Mara for meals and just chill out. I got there and wanted bread service. So we hung out for the afternoon, and then ended up going over to Kidani and figuring out how we were going to get into Sana'a. But we made it happen. It worked out. We got in right at 5 o'clock, figured that'd be a good thing to do. Just as a note though, we were going to go over at 4 and then saw that they didn't open till 5. The lounge is open from noon till midnight or whatever it is, noon to 11. They don't shut down. And I don't believe they stopped serving food. Probably have to look into that, but I'm assuming they don't.
Interesting.
So we probably
could have theoretically sat in the lounge at Sana'a and got your bread service there.
Yes, I believe that theoretically. So all in all, it worked out. It was fine, except for the fact we were starving by the time we got to Animal Kingdom. So we just pushed it back a little bit. So had a great meal. I could have and I should have, and my wife and I were actually talking about this today. It's like, next time we go to Sana'a, I'm only getting the bread service. I'm not getting a meal.
It almost goes to waste because that's really what you want anyway, is the bread service.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I had the, I forget what it is, where you pick two. I had the buttered chicken and the beef, and it was just, it was really good, but it was too much food.
Yeah.
That's a theme through this trip. Too much food.
Too much food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is saying something for somebody who, you know, has downshifted over the last couple of years from the deluxe dining plan.
Yeah, I know. It was, it is. It really is. And I mean, part of it was, I told myself I was going to lose 30 pounds before we went on this trip, and I did it in 75 days. So I was not eating a lot at all during that time. And it was change in habits, and it was too much food. But any rate, was a really good meal. Got seated next to the window. Huge rainstorm came in while we were there, so luckily we were inside. That's a good thing. But it did kind of put a damper on the animals hanging out. They all kind of broke for shelter when the rain came in. But yeah, so we just kind of chilled, hit the pool. Really, like I said, this was it was two very relaxing days on the front end of this trip before we really got into it. And it was just as a feeling, it was kind of odd, because normally we get there, we have that one night our drive-in day, our arrival day. Day zero, if you will. And then we hit the ground.
The recovery from the drive.
Yeah. But when we hit the ground running the next day. So this was completely different, and it was a lot of fun, to be honest. It was cool. We just kind of hung out as a family, just really just chilled. It wasn't like get here, go there, do all of it. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did it on the front end.
Well, good. So you enjoyed the downshift.
Mm-hmm.
And after this, you get checked in at the Polynesian. You'd rented DVC points, so you were going to get a chance to check out the still relatively new deluxe studio rooms there at the Polynesian. So talk a little bit about the check-in process there and those new rooms.
Okay. This was, we'd gotten offered these points from one of my wife's coworkers, and it was kind of like, okay, honey, where do you want to stay? And she's wanted to stay at the Polynesian forever. So this was her decision, her trip. This is where she wanted to be. Okay. I wanted Grand Flow, but that's just me. I am so glad we chose the Poly. I had stayed there once when I think I was in college. I was 20. It was a family vacation, and it was cool then. This was fantastic. Check-in process. We got there. The whole having coffee at Animal Kingdom that lasted for about 20 minutes, and it was like, we should probably get ready and just go over to the Polynesian and just hang out there. So we did. So we went over there. We went to get checked in. Your room's probably not going to be ready till about 4. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those catches, by the way, that I think people miss sometimes. You know, the DVC rooms, because with DVC there's not housekeeping every day. There's only housekeeping every fourth day. So if there's only housekeeping full housekeeping every fourth day, what it means is that when they turn those rooms, it tends to take them a little longer to turn them. And so as a result, the check-in for most of the resorts for the standard hotel rooms, they'll tell you you'll get your room by 3:00. But for the DVC rooms, what I've found now is that almost all of them are saying they won't be available necessarily until 4, and it really is taking them until then to get them ready because, like I said, it just takes them longer to turn over. They've got more work to do to get them cleaned up because they only deal with them in anything more than, picking up trash, every 4 days.
Right. And that almost held true. I think it's actually a funny story. So that was the 17th, which happened to be the day that Soarin' opened, which we happened to have fast passes for at 4:50. So we got there and we're like, it's going to be a few hours. Okay, great. Not a huge issue. We ended up just hanging out in the lobby, got some Dole Whip, decided to have an impromptu lunch at Kona. And when we got done at Kona, I think we had one drink, just kind of hanging out upstairs near Tambu. And then I looked at the clock and I'm like, it's like 1:40. They haven't said anything. We might just need to go to Epcot. And here's the thing. All of our luggage is at Bell. And we are not in, we could have gone. We were just going to go for a couple hours anyways, basically just for Soarin'. But we didn't have proper footwear to walk around Epcot. So I end up, I go up, I ask if we're getting close to being ready, and they're like, no, it's still going to be a few hours. I said, I have fast passes for Soarin'. And they're like, you need to not lose those, so you guys got to go. So I ended up, I went to Bell service. I got back into their little secret room where they hold everything. Got in our shoe bag, got out all the shoes, put my shoes on, put my son's shoes on, and got a text message that our room was ready.
Now that is some remarkable timing.
Exactly. So we got to the room, called Bell, did all that. We actually had Garden Grocer this time, which was pretty cool. I highly recommend it. I don't care whatever service you use, but any of those, getting stuff shipped to your room is great. Especially when they'll pick up beer. So that made life better. So that kind of pointed us to another couple firsts. So we bounced from there, hopped on the monorail, went to Epcot, and en route, my son passed out in the stroller. And we ended up at La Cava. So
hey, you got to do something while the kid's napping.
Exactly. So we got there at like 2. And I do have to say, we're always summer folks, right? We always go in the summer. We're used to big crowds, big heat. The first 6 or 7 days, it might have been 90, and there was no humidity for Florida standards. It was gorgeous. We could not have asked for better weather the first 3 quarters of the trip.
Cool.
End of the trip, it was 800 degrees and 50,000% humidity. But we're used to
okay,
it.
Okay, but not the whole time. So
it was great. So we figured get out of the heat. Let's walk to La Cava and see what's going on. So we were actually just going to get a drink and ended up sitting there for a while. Got the trio. This was actually the first time we've ever hung out there. I know we've talked about this before, where the whole place seems kind of shady.
It is a cave.
It is. So we found a couple little tables, got a couple of margaritas, got my daughter a drink, got some chips and salsa, snacked on that. And my son sat there with his sunglasses on, to the point where we're probably going to have to post the, hashtag weekend at Dawson's picture.
Okay.
I took, cause I really wanted to play Weekend at Bernie's with him like then. Cause he was in like this flower shirt, sunglasses and a weird hat. It was great.
Perfect.
It's a good pick, but yeah, so we hung out there and we were actually going to mosey around World Showcase a little bit before our fast pass started at like, 4:50 or so.
Right.
And we just hung out there a couple hours. It's a cool little spot. It's busy as all get out. If you can get a table, get it, sit down. It's kind of people watch. The trio was really good. The guacamole was out of this world.
Yeah, I really like the guac a lot. I like that whole trio. I think it's a really just about a perfect appetizer combination because the three elements, I think, just play off of each other really well.
Yeah. Well, my wife wasn't a big fan of the salsa because it's got the whole chipotle kind of adobo feel to it. There's a lot of smoke in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely a smoky salsa.
I loved it. It was great. So did my daughter, for that matter. But yeah, so we snacked on that for a little bit. Those tables are so close that you can't not talk to people around you.
Right, right.
So we ended up, there was a family of like 10. The daughter and her boyfriend who was there, he proposed to her the night before. So they were celebrating by drinking around the world. So it led to led to a fun conversation. You know how that goes.
Sure.
So that was definitely a highlight, something we will probably do multiple times in the future. It's a neat place to chill out. So we boogied over to like one of the biggest firsts, obviously the new Soarin' Around the World, right? Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Yes. Soarin' Around the World.
So Soarin' Around the World. So it was, only 240 minutes that morning at 10 a.m. by the time we had gotten there, it was actually, I think it was down to 90 or 100 minutes. And this was day one. We went in that third theater. I think it makes, I think we're seeing that it makes a lot of difference in wait times.
There's no question. It makes a huge difference because those numbers have been consistent. They've not, it really is amazing, right? That first of all, we see it's a tried and true attraction as opposed to a brand new attraction. So they haven't had the downtime issues that they've had at some of the other new stuff.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there.
And, as they've been able to keep it up and running, from what I'm seeing, even middle of summer, it looks like that, wait times are stabilizing, really maxing out at 90 minutes. I haven't seen anything longer than 90 minutes since opening weekend.
Well, and that opening day, I mean, I think we moseyed over there at like 5:15, okay? I could be – we didn't get there right at like fast pass window opening, okay?
Right, right.
And I think when we came out, it was down to like 60 minutes or 50 minutes. We're riding up the escalator and you look back, you're like, wow. And it's kind of been hovering right around there, which for that attraction is not that bad of a wait time.
No, not at all. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, it peaks out, but it doesn't stay like that.
Right. And I was impressed. The new queue with the little additions there are enough. They changed the color so it doesn't feel like you're walking down an airport terminal, which is what everyone loves to do now anyways. So it had more of a cool feel. That blue kind of, I don't know, cooled it out, I guess. So we ended up getting there. One of the first, you know, pixie dusts of the trip. I had my Penguins hat on, and we're standing there in line, getting ready to get sent to our, you know, specific
your,
right?
Your gate.
Yeah, our gate, right? Yeah, and one of the cast members walks up and she's like, "Huh, let's go Pens. Follow me." I'm like, "What?" They took us front and center, right in that middle glider. So for our first ride on Soarin', we had like best seats in the house.
Very nice.
It was cool. It was cool. As an attraction, I don't think they could have done a better job making a good attraction better.
Interesting way to put that.
I really enjoyed Soarin' Over California. I thought it was great. I thought the only thing that bothered me was A, it wasn't HD, B, they didn't clean the lens, and C, my big thing was the transitions were wrong. They just happened, right?
Like yeah, that's true. That was my criticism always too, was that the transitions were abrupt.
Yeah, and this one, they did some cool CGI stuff for it, which if I have one criticism of this, they overdid the CGI for this. They added too much stuff. They should have just went with the broad landscapes and whatever. I don't need a polar bear standing up and waving at me.
Okay,
I don't.
Okay.
It was like a Coke commercial. It might have actually been a Coke commercial. There might have been a Coke in his hand. I'm not sure. but overall, it was awesome. The biggest thing I miss is the orange groves. You don't get that anymore. But they did a great job keeping the score relatively close to the same. I thought that was one thing that was going to end up going away, and that would have made me pretty sad. And they didn't touch the pre-flight, which is even better with Patrick. So I think of all the things that could have gone wrong when, you know, everyone complains about changes, I think they pretty much knocked this one out of the park.
That's so, good to hear. To hear. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know when I'm going to get back. Probably may not be till January, but this is definitely one of the things that I'm most looking forward to, because Soarin was one of the attractions that kind of really hooked me on Disney in the first place. You know, it was what really sold me that this is a different experience than another, you know, an amusement park.
Right. It was really good. So that's basically all we did at Epcot that day.
As long as we're at Epcot, let's go ahead and instead of going day by day here, you've got a full, you know, week's vacation still here to go. Let's kind of go park by park and just kind of figure out highlights here. Obviously Soarin was a highlight in Epcot. La Cava was a highlight in Epcot. What are a couple other things about Epcot that really stood out to you on this trip? I mean, there were a bunch more new things happening in Epcot at the same time.
Yes. We were there for Frozen Mania. Not officially opening day Frozen Mania, but so last minute, as a nerdy planner as I am, they waited till the last minute to announce that Frozen was going to be open while we were there, opening on the 21st. Already had everything set in stone, so ended up getting a fast pass for the 23rd. Basically, we had to do 3 days at Epcot this trip, our normal full day. And then we did this little 2-hour bump on the front end for Soarin', and we ended up doing like half a day on our second to last day, so we could do the frozen stuff. Now, I was worried that we were going to have to get up ridiculously early, go stand in line for the Anna and Elsa meet and greet, and then ride Frozen Ever After. On our first day, the Soarin' day we were talking about, if we would have walked one pavilion up, we probably would have gotten into soft openings at the Anna and Elsa meet and greet, the Royal Summer House, okay. Which ended up happening a couple days later. We saw it on Twitter. If I would have seen it while we were there, we would have gone and done it. But so by getting in early for some of the soft openings, that helped alleviate that last Epcot day. Royal Summer House is pretty cool. They did a great job blending it into the current theming of Norway. Grassroots, everything, it looks, it's new, but it looks like it fits. So it's they did a good job there. They got their own bathroom. Tangled isn't the only, or Rapunzel isn't the only princess that has her own themed bathroom now. So we now have Anna and Elsa themed bathrooms. The meet and greet, for those that don't want to hear how it works, close your ears. 3, 2, 1. There are like 9 rooms off of this thing.
So they're built for capacity.
It's built for capacity. I think there's 4 or 5, honestly, meeting rooms. They did a really good job capacity wise. Only thing that's weird is the queue. The way it's set up, it's almost like a governor's drive walking in around this, and Royal Summer House is to the left. Then there's a shop in the middle, and then it gets over to the bathrooms on the right, and then it comes back out. The queue comes out, goes across this quote unquote governor's drive, and then there's like a bunch of switchbacks in the middle of this garden across the road from Royal Summer House. So it's awkward. It's like, did they forget to put a queue in? Like that's like an outdoor queue.
Okay. Oh, right. Because instead of the outdoor queue being right outside the space, it's over on the other side.
Right. So I don't know. That was the only thing that I thought was kind of like, come on, Disney, you're a little better than this. Okay. So that was the only thing there. Obviously everything funnels right into that gift shop at the end. Of course. Overall, it was a cool experience. There are several little nods to Maelstrom in Royal Summer House as you're walking through some of the artwork in there. Nods to the old ride. So that was great. That was like the most relaxed possible way to meet Anna and Elsa ever.
Oh, okay.
It was fantastic. I mean, A, it was soft opening, so that didn't hurt anything. There was no one there. It was a 10-minute wait. It wasn't even a 10-minute wait. We walked right through. It was cool area. Just kind of didn't have to fast pass. It didn't have to run there first thing in the morning. Didn't have to worry about it. It was great. Frozen Ever After, on the other hand, like yeah. Everyone else in the park, was freaking nuts. Like I said, it was the second to last day, so we ended up going there. We ended up sleeping in and just going for our fast pass at like 10 o'clock. That's another thing we did on this trip. We slept in. That never happens. Never. So any rate, we had gotten there and the ride was down like it had been down the 2 days prior.
Right. And this is going to be a running theme. I mean, you know, right. We're now today is July 10th. And I was seeing today that, you know, the Frozen Ever After spent several hours down again this afternoon. It just to borrow, you know, somebody else's comment, it really feels like the rumors were kind of heavy back in May that Frozen Ever After was way behind schedule and it wasn't going to open on time. And then everybody got surprised when it did open on time when expected, you know, kind of right there with Soarin' and the meet and greet. And it almost feels like they just said, you know what? Get it open. Open it with everything else. We know it's going to be down every day. We'll deal with it on the fly.
Right.
And it just kind of feels like that's what they're doing with Frozen After After, which is unusual. I mean, I've never known Walt Disney World to do that with an attraction. The only thing I can think is that they just really wanted or really needed to have, you know, all of this Epcot stuff open together on time after all of the mess with River of Light.
Right. I think that's a big thing too. They missed the date on that.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's actually going to happen. I mean, at this point, I mean, they're this year, I mean, it may not happen till 2017. Scuttlebutt, but, it was weird, man. It was really, really weird. We got there and there are like 9 managers. You know, when you see a dude in slacks and a button down, and there's 9 of them with earpieces standing out in front of a ride, you're like, hey, boy, something's going on. So went up and asked, was like, hey, have a fast pass. They're like, okay, you're good. It's going to work all day. So just come back later. It's 10 o'clock. I'm like, holy mackerel. So it's 10 o'clock. We, you know, kind of piddle around for a bit. And my daughter was dressed kind of like Disney bound Snow White, and one of the, people from Germany, not the pavilion, the real Germany, she was walking by and she stopped to say hello. And, then one of her coworkers who happened to be the food and bev manager for Germany was there also. So we were chatting about beverage, and it turned into a nice little 25-minute conversation about just stuff, Disney in general, all this. Right. And in the middle of this, the manager just kind of perks up. I don't know if she had an earbud in or whatever, but she perks up, says, hold on a second, walks over to all these other managers, is standing in front of the ride, walks back over and says, yeah, it's open, get in line. And so we're standing there and we're like in the middle of, not in the middle of the walkway, but on the edge of the walkway. And there's like, you know, hundreds of people just standing there and they haven't announced that it's open yet. So she's like, just go get in line right now. So left the stroller where it was and we just booked it. And, it was like, we had like a 15-minute wait maybe to get on Frozen Ever After. The queue is pretty cool. They did a very good job inside. I thought the ride itself was pretty amazing, from a tech standpoint. The audio animatronics are ridiculously crazy. The Olaf in the first scene, the fact that he walks at you, talks to you, and then walks with you is just I was just sitting there. I was probably gaping the entire time. I'm like, this is awesome. They did the big Let It Go portion was done really well. I would not wait 300 minutes for it. I don't know if I would wait 90 minutes for it, but it was better than I expected. I had tempered my expectations going into it. Just I figured it would be good. But, you know, the whole internal projection on Anna Elsa and just the faces, it was really well done. It will hopefully eventually get up and going and everything will be fine. I'm assuming. I'm interested to see what the wait times are going to end at.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because, you know, right now it's up and down so much that it's very, very difficult to predict anything.
Right.
And it seems, and I don't know if this has been consistent. I need to follow up with some people and get some, you know, collect some more feedback. But it seemed that they were sort of heading in the direction of having it be, at least for the time being, as they kind of get everything up and running and working, you know, having it be literally a Fastpass only attraction. Right.
Right.
That they were not, it looks like at least on some days, they're just not running a standby line because, like your experience, right? People have mm-hmm. fast passes and they're just telling them, we know it's going to be down. So, you know, it's good all day. Just use it when it's open.
Yeah.
You know, and keep alert.
And that's kind of, they're like, keep checking your app. I'm like, oh, because we're standing like, what are we going to do? Are we just going to mill about over here? Are we going to? You know, I mean, we don't have I only made one fast pass that day. We don't have fast passes for anything else. We could go ride Spaceship Earth and whatever, and that's fine. But holy mackerel, what are we gonna?
Right.
You know what are we gonna do? And our
at least
our thoughts,
you can make fast passes on the fly now. So
yeah.
You know, at least you could do that.
Stellar.
But you know, the flip side is that you're also trying to stay available because once it gets open, you don't know how long it's gonna stay open.
Well, and that's the thing. We didn't want to, like, you know, our plan was to get up, go over there, ride Frozen, maybe ride Spaceship Earth on the way out, and then go back at like 4, and we were going to eat around the world and just, you know, snack.
Right.
Because this got pushed back, like, I think we got there like 20 after 10. We didn't get in the ride till 11. By the time we got out, we're all hungry. So we got some snacks. We ended up just staying there until like 5:30 and eating and or drinking around the world. Ended up at Rose and Crown for like a 3 o'clock lunch, which
oh the horror,
it was terrible. Yeah, it was which was really good. I hadn't been there in several years, had the bangers and mash, and it was really tasty. So overall, other Epcot stuff. Did Beer Garden for the first time, which was pretty awesome.
Good. I was wondering, cause you know, we talked about this and you'd said, it was a tough sell because you've got good German Beer Garden restaurants, you know, in the area where you live. I mean, they're fairly
right.
common in Pennsylvania.
Right.
So,
right.
So how did it go over with the family that, you know, is sort of already familiar with the style and the cuisine? What did they think of it?
Food was good. They kind of all enjoyed it. My son enjoyed the show. They're really good. they're really good musicians.
Yes.
So the food was pretty good. I really didn't like the fact that it was a buffet. It's just me. I mean, it's awesome that you get to try everything, but I ended up, and I mean, this is Oh the Horror. I only got one trip to the buffet because I was chasing my kid around and taking him to the bathroom and doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, that's always the challenge with buffets.
Yeah.
I agree. I've become less enamored of buffets. I'm a big fan of family style.
mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too. And it was just, you know, it wasn't that he was being crazy. It was just I went up and got food for him. Came back and sat down. My daughter wanted something else, so I went and got it and came back. I went and got my stuff, came back. He had to go to the bathroom. Then the show started, and I'm like, I'm not, okay. Just bring me another beer.
Hey, but at least they bring you the beer by the liter.
Oh, I know. It's awesome. Yeah, it was good. Beer was good. Food was tasty. Desserts were pretty good. Show was great. Atmosphere in there is awesome. I mean, it's a cool little setup. So it's definitely one that I think we'll do again. I'm actually probably kind of glad that I didn't eat a ton because then I would have just like rolled myself out of Epcot after that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, that is one that, you know, look, you have a couple of liters of beer and, you know, a couple of trips through that buffet and the post buffet, you know, food coma hits pretty hard.
Oh yeah. It's nappy nap time at that point. Whew, yeah, so it could have been bad. But overall, I mean, it really, really enjoyed that. We did our, after the whole Frozen Ever After debacle, we did our little stint walking around World Showcase. Met a couple princesses, had some beverages, ate some food, snacked really. Rose and Crown. It was just standard, I guess. Yeah.
Right. As we suspected might be the case, David had a lot to talk about on an 8-day vacation with 3 different hotels that they stayed in and lots of things going on, lots of new things opening in the parks. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up this week's show there, but we'll pick up again next week with the rest of David's trip. And there's lots more great content to listen to. So tune in next week to hear the rest of David's trip report. Thanks so much for coming back and talking to us about your trip. You had a lot of new stuff going on, a lot of good information about new things in the parks. So thanks again for sharing, and we look forward to you coming back and sharing again the next time.
Hey, anytime, man. Thanks.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings.